Welcome back to the Pete Space. Palette Life Sciences, sponsor of this podcast, is committed to bringing educational tools such as the Pete Space for sharing best practices and compelling conversations across a wide variety of pediatric urology and VUR topics. I'm Cynthia Hanna, and today is episode 2 of our 3-part series on neonatal circumcision with Dr. Edwin Smith. Dr. Smith is a board-certified urologist with Georgia Urology in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Smith will be joined today by Dr. Elizabeth Goetz, neonatologist at Unity Point Health, University of Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin, and Dr. Mike Steiner, pediatric division chief at the University of North Carolina's Children's Hospital in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'd like to welcome everybody today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Smith, I'm going to hand over our discussion over to you so you can begin.
Well, thank you, Cynthia, and thank you, Palette Life Sciences. So let me start off by describing NeoCert, which is a e-learning module. This was created by a group of pediatric urologists, Drs. Max Mazel, Waleed Farhat, Emily Blum, and myself. And it was designed as a new approach to newborn circumcisions to try to reduce adverse outcomes. And when we say adverse outcomes, this includes such things as penile injury, poor cosmetic outcomes, the need for subsequent surgical revisions or repair. And we as pediatric urologists practicing in different areas of the country had all noted an uptick in the number of adverse outcomes for newborn circumcisions in the past few years. We thought that these adverse outcomes might be the result of inconsistencies in procedure practices between institutions, but maybe even between providers within the same institutions. So we created neocirc.org to be an educational resource for circumcision concepts for specialists who perform neonatal circumcision. And this was, in fact, a learning module developed in collaboration with pediatricians, neonatologists, OBGYN surgeons, and other pediatric urologists. So this is the product of consensus expert opinion that we believe highlights best practices for neonatal circumcision. So this is the second of the series on newborn circumcisions. And the title of this is, Where Do I Cut? And we are very fortunate today to have with us Dr. Elizabeth Goetz and Dr. Mike Steiner. So thank you both very much for joining us today. Let me start off the session by asking you each to please comment on your approach to newborn circumcision, whether you believe there's a need for standardization of this procedure. And if I may, Dr. Goetz, could you help lead us off here?
Sure. Thank you. So I am really excited to be a part of this project. I'm at the University of Wisconsin and the residency director for the newborn nursery. So I've been teaching residents how to do circumcisions for the last 15 years. I have 5 partners I work with, and I am getting a little bit embarrassed to say this after this time, but I've taught all my partners how to do circumcisions as residents. And one of the things that I've really noticed over the last probably year or two is, even though I've taught everyone in a very standard way how to do the procedure, everyone gets their own sort of flavor to it, their own taste to it, their own methods. So even within our group of 5, I find that the way that we're teaching residents now has become not very standardized. So I think that this is really timely. Creating these neocircles, I've been really paying attention to that when I've been doing circumcisions over the last month or so. And I think it's really a great method.
Dr. Steiner, how has your experience been with learning about this module and maybe implementing it into your practice?
Yeah, thanks so much. And thanks for inviting me. I'm a general pediatrician and hospitalist and see kids both inpatient and outpatient. I actually came to doing circumcisions kind of in the middle of my career. I wasn't trained as a resident, and some of the generalists here started doing them when there were some changes in reimbursement and we needed to improve access to the procedure. So things like, to me, I actually enjoy doing a lot of, I guess, what would be called small procedures, both in the office and in the hospital setting. And to me, again, as a non-surgeon, circumcision is one of the higher stakes procedures. And I think it's also one of the harder ones to master that general pediatricians do. And so I think having methods of intentional practice like NeoCirc, and particularly getting ways to standardize kind of the amount of skin that's removed and this issue of how where to mark and where to cut is really important. And we as a field should have better ways to do it than just years of practice. And I think NeoCirc is one of the ways that we can get better at this early and stay better at it and be consistent from one provider to another. So it's been very helpful for me.
That's terrific. I want to focus in on some of the details that we present in the module. And those details are such things as identifying surface landmarks before beginning the procedure, using the coronal ridge as a reference point, making sure that the surface landmarks are held constant when marking. And then particularly important is use of a disposable surgical marking pen to actually delineate where the incision will be. And these are details that we feel like are just critical to creating consistency. And I'd like your comments from each of you, if you would please, on the ease of actually going through these steps. Is this something that you feel slows you down, is excessively time-consuming, or is this an exercise that really is fairly intuitive once you see it a few times?
I think it is very intuitive, but I also really like how the NeoCirc makes you slow down and actually look at those landmarks, use a marking pen. That, I think, takes away so much of the chance of the procedure. And in terms of teaching circumcision, it's been very helpful to just have this, rather than just kind of pointing out these things, to really name them and to be able to go through with every resident and say, you know, here is exactly where you should cut, mark it out, instead of just sort of being really loosey-goosey about it.
Yeah, and that's been my experience too. As I said, I was taught kind of mid-career by a pediatric urologist who I think was already comfortable with it and didn't use a marking pen. And I just found of all the aspects of the procedure, it took me many, 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 like 20, 30 circs to feel really confident with how much skin to pull up and how tense or lax the skin should be to get the right cosmetic result. And I just, in teaching residents to do it or teaching other faculty, it's something that without using a marking pen and really planning the level of incision beforehand, it's hard to talk through a descriptor and make people feel confident about that question about how much skin to pull up. And I think when you help people look at the anatomy and mark it with the pen and do the NeoCircles, it gives someone a very objective spot at which they can feel comfortable tightening the clamp.
Yeah, those are terrific comments, Dr. Getz and Dr. Seiner. And I'd like to point out, I believe what I'm hearing is that this actually accelerates teaching residents or other practitioners because it is a method that can be easily described and fairly easily applied. I'm going to throw in my bias here and also say that in the times when I've used a clamp-type device before discovering the value of a marking pen, when the foreskin is actually pulled up into the device, you really sort of lose your landmarks. And it's difficult to know exactly precisely where you're placing the clamp. And I wonder if that's not where we get these misalignments and a little bit too much skin on one side, a little bit too little on another side. I would like to ask both of you, in your community, do you see children that have had circumcisions done where you do see those irregularities? And do you think this NeoCirc concept is going to be effective in creating a more symmetric circumcision?
I think so. I think the way that we care for babies here is my team often does the circumcisions and then we don't see them after that. So it's really hard to say for me exactly what happens after we send them home. I definitely would feel much better knowing that I had made that line and seen where I was going to cut before doing the procedure and then sending a baby home. But we do a lot of circumcisions really early after babies are born. So there's a lot of swelling. There's a lot of the landmarks aren't as good just in those first 24 or 48 hours of life sometimes. And losing the landmarks once you pull it into the clamp, it just exacerbates that so much more when you have just such a young baby.
So we spent a good bit of time so far talking about this NeoCirc concept. Were there other things that the module that also you find are maybe a little bit different than what you're previously doing as far as creating an environment, a holistic approach to pain relief and keeping the child calm and then separating adhesions? Are those things that were already in practice or have you made any modifications in those details?
I would say, so for me, one thing I still have not done, actually, in full disclosure, is to use viscous lidocaine as a mechanism to kind of separate the layers between the glands and the foreskin. which was in the module. So I'll be eager to try that sometime. I thought, and I don't know what Dr. Gutz's experience is, but I find we have two services at UNC that do newborn circumcisions in the nursery. And to me, you can make circumcision much, much more comfortable for the infant if you are conscious of the environment and quiet and, you know, wrapping in a comfortable position and not restraining the legs until you're absolutely ready to go. And then being very careful with the, you know, numbing and then using, you know, sucrose supplement orally too. So I appreciated that the module, when I watched it again now, you know, 6 or 7 years after I watched it the first time, that it really does emphasize trying to optimize the comfort for the newborn, because I think not only does it make the procedure go better and the outcome better, but the period of time after the circumcision is just so much more comfortable for the newborn and the parent if you're able to get good anesthesia and a good overall, I don't want to say an experience, but the kind of holistic part of it is good too.
Yeah, I think that does make a difference from what we all see and how the child returns to their parent, and the less discomfort at the time of the procedure translates into a happier baby, a baby that feeds better, that is more content, and parents that feel less anxious about the procedure that their child has undergone.
And sometimes it can be hard to predict. But I mean, there are times where people do circumcisions and the child's crying the whole time and spits up during it and it's just all out of sorts. And then other times, you know, the child, especially in the immediate newborn period, the child can sleep through it. Whatever we can do to more consistently have sleep through it and less consistently have screaming the whole time and throwing up and just being all out of sorts, I think that time is well invested, and the module emphasizes that.
I really like the standardization of the injection of the lidocaine. I think that that's something that has helped me just in teaching other people how to do it. I'm happy that that was included.
It's certainly important to make sure that you've got a good block and allow the lidocaine an adequate amount of time to actually have its effect before starting the procedure. I'd like to, as a final question, ask both of you, because you're in a position to affect and influence your healthcare system, how do you plan to implement NeoCirc into your healthcare system?
Well, I think at the University of Wisconsin, what I'm hoping to do is start using this as the primary teaching module for our residents. We have both pediatrics and family medicine at our community hospital here. So I look forward to doing that. We haven't started it yet, but I think that that will cover most of the learners that are coming through in Madison, Wisconsin. And then making it available and letting people know, making the people who are currently practicing and doing a lot of circumcisions. I find that number is getting smaller and smaller, that it's getting shifted more and more to hospitalist services. So just making sure that everyone knows about it and that we start using it as a teaching tool.
Yeah, similarly here at UNC in North Carolina, we are just starting a new phase of going through and actually teaching the procedure to a lot of faculty, and all are expected to, you know, watch the module and take the test. And then we're using the simulator that people can kind of practice the hand movements and holding the tools on, which for non-surgeons doing this type of procedure, some of the comfort with it is just having the tools in your hands and being able to manipulate them. And then once they've done those things, then, you know, we would start work doing circumcisions on actual children under close supervision. But those first two steps that NeoCirc modules help with just put someone in so much more of an advanced position than starting right away. And the idea of using simulation in medicine and practicing in rigorous ways before we practice on patients, I think is the right way to do it. And that's kind of the way to start doing procedures in the modern era. So I'm really supportive of this and other things that can help people practice intentionally before performing procedures on patients.
Great comments from both Dr. Steiner and Dr. Gutz on that question. I'd like to conclude now, and I would first like to, of course, thank PedSpace, Palette Sciences, for allowing us to produce this podcast. And then I would like to thank our two panelists who made terrific comments and gave us some really good insight from the front line on doing newborn circumcisions. So thank you both for your very valuable comments. When we come to the task of newborn circumcision, the old adage of beginning with the end in mind really applies. And we tell parents that when the circumcision is completed, there should be a symmetric distribution of penile shaft skin so that the length of skin is essentially equal from top to bottom at all points around the circle, that the gland should be properly exposed so that it really does truly simplify hygiene, which is a prime expectation of circumcision, that using a surgical marking pen to draw out neocircles really does make the planning accurate and reproducible before applying the clamp and should eliminate the risk of taking too much or too little. Separating adhesions is really important in preventing glands injury, lowers the risk of abnormal healing. And then finally, all of this should occur in the context of a holistic approach for comforting the infant and pain control.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Ped Space. We hope you enjoyed Dr. Smith, Goetz, and Dr. Steiner's perspective on part two of our series on neonatal circumcision. Stay tuned for part three of the series. For more information on this topic, log into www.neocirc.org. Feel free to share with your colleagues while we deliver more pediatric urology-focused content in the coming weeks. There are some great resources for you and your patients at deflux.com. Additionally, you can learn more about our company and our products at palatelifesciences.com. The content of this podcast is solely the opinion of our presenters.